Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 226. Now, those of you who have been listening to The Dream Show for a long time will know that we have two formats. The main format is that we have a guest on the show, a guest from anywhere around the world, who comes on with a dream that I have never heard before. And as we press play to record, I hear that person's dream, and we then go on to interpret and analyze the dream and do some dream alchemy. And that's our number one format. But we like to balance that with sometimes doing a different format, which is where we don't have a guest on the show. Well, we do. We have me. So we have me talking about various things, about dreams or synchronicity or blogs or tips about dream interpretation. And I realized as we were preparing for today's show that we actually haven't done one of those since last June. So that's 7 months ago. So I thought we better pop one in here. And I'll let you discover as you listen what the topic, there are two topics that tie all these little stories together that I'm going to give you today. But a little bit of a heads up, I'm going to tell you about a synchronicity that I experienced. And I'm also going to tell you about two dreams that I had. So I'm going to be interpreting and exploring both the two dreams and the synchronicity. And of course, in listening to what I hope, well, I hope that you'll enjoy listening to stories about me and how I approach my dreams and synchronicity. But of course, embedded throughout all of that are tips for you to take away, tips for you to work out, to use, to approach and understand your own dreams and your synchronicities. But as I say, there's also a couple of themes going through here as well. So let's begin. Oh, before we begin, I forgot, I always have to mention the websites. So the websites are always getting changed a little bit. So if you haven't been to either of my websites for a while, it's always worth a quick look. JaneTheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, is the main place where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. That's more than 10 years worth of listening now. It's also where you go to read loads of blogs, over 100 articles on dreams and dreaming. And it's also where you go if you want to find out how to consult me about your own dreams. That's JaneTheresa.com. And then the other website, the Dream Academy, and the address for that is dream-academy-online.com, is my online learning platform. So it's where you can go to do various courses around dreams, dream interpretation, becoming a dream therapist, and you can study those dreams in your own time, at your own pace. There's no big starting date and trumpet call. You just go in, and when you're ready, you begin, and you take as much time or you go as fast as you would like through the courses. So those are the websites you may like to visit and listen to. And now, as they say, on with the show. So first of all, I'm going to share a blog that I wrote in November 2019 for JaneTheresa.com, and it's called Synchronicity Time. So we're going back a couple of months in this story. Are you ready for another little synchronicity story? I like to play with synchronicities as if they're dreams, letting them unfold and tell their own tales. A couple of weeks ago, I received a renewal notice for my driver's license and decided to renew it for the maximum, another 5 years. It's one of those things that can't be done online, so I made a note to go and get it sorted while I had a bit of time up my sleeve. The original expires on my birthday, which is a few days before Christmas, so leaving it until the busyness of the silly system seemed, well, silly. Why not get it done now? The next morning, I discovered that my watch, a birthday gift 5 years ago, had stopped at 22:14 p.m. while I was asleep. What did I say about having time up my sleeve? I'd need to take the watch into a jeweler to renew the battery. It felt weird not having a watch up my sleeve, and weirder still consulting my bare arm far too often in search of the time. Do I really look at my watch that many times a day? So I'm saying yes to another 5 years of driving, and yes to another 5 years of TikTok time. So what happened 5 years ago, and why is it time to renew and re-energize it now? The first thing that sprang to mind was that I decided to write a new book 5 years ago. I announced it just after Christmas and added that I was going to take a different approach this time. All my other books have been written to a tight delivery date. You see, I don't like the word deadline. But this time I wanted to take it slow. Let it develop. Let it write itself. No hurry, no delivery date. And that's exactly what happened. Along the way, I showed various drafts of the developing book to people, followed suggestions and advice, looked for an overseas agent, failed to find the right match, let the book sit to one side for a long time while other things took precedence, and then finally brushed it up, got a top editor to add her magic and also to translate it from British English into American English. And she began this work in early November, renewing and re-energising the book for publication at the same time that I was renewing and re-energising my erstwhile exhausted watch batteries and permission to drive. Perhaps that's it, one reading of the synchronicity, renewing on all levels and particularly energising for bringing out a new book, which requires time and drive, amongst other things. But let's look at that 22:14 p.m. again, the time that my watch stopped. My birthday is on the 22nd of December, and 5 years ago when I received the watch, the year was 2014. Now, I took a photo of my watch, and if you go to janetheresa.com and look up the blog, it's November 2019 on the janetheresa.com blog, you'll see that photo. And if you look super closely, you'll see the date on my watch is 20, because the date is never right, because it's far too fiddly for me to adjust, so I just don't. You could read that as 2014, or you might think that's going a bit far. But the new year coming up is 2020, and it's definitely time to energize for 2020 and the years that follow. It was only after I took the photo that I realised that part of my face is reflected in the watch face. Honouring the synchronicity, I've been reflecting on the themes and symbolism and watching, yes, you've got it, watching to see what happens next. I don't remember exactly how old I was when I passed my driving test, but it was sometime in my very early 20s. I might even have been 20. What I do remember, apart from the elation of passing the test first time, which was rare in the mid-1970s, and a feeling that they'd made a mistake because I really didn't feel ready to be let loose on the streets driving a car, was that I received a driving licence for life. It was a British licence, and that's how it worked back then. Life, I discovered, looking at my licence, ended on the 22nd of December 2024. After that, my driving skills would need to be reassessed. I kept staring at that date, 2024, unable to comprehend a time so far in the future, let alone next century, let alone imagine how old I would be by then and what would be happening. Now that I've renewed my Australian license for another 5 years, I have caught up with that magical date because my new license expires on the 22nd of December 2024. I look forward to renewing it many times in the future. I have to share a story about the hour before I passed my driving test all those years ago. I had booked an hour with my driving instructor to warm up on the drive in for the test. I met him in Glasgow's city centre, on a steep street where the car was parked. I kept repeating to myself, mirror, signal, mirror, mirror, signal, mirror, keen to get this right. Off we go then, said my driving instructor. I checked my mirror, signalled, pulled out into the traffic, checked my mirror again. I drove downhill to stop at the red traffic light at the bottom of the hill. I was feeling shaky and nervous, but pleased with my progress so far. It might help, offered the instructor, if you turn on the ignition. See, those were the days when you always needed to turn a key to get the car started. These days, with a proximity key, this wouldn't have happened, but back then, it was only the steep downhill slope of the road that gave the car momentum. I was driving without the engine on. Was it all going to be downhill for me from now on, I thought, heading for a failed test result? Luckily for me, my instructor didn't share my huge mistake with the examiner who took me for my driving test. Was I really ready to drive safely? I'm not so sure. I can look back on my life and see so many charmed events like this one, and over time, my driving skills naturally improved, as did my writing skills. I like to treat a synchronicity as a dream, to explore its themes and symbols and see where it leads. When exploring a dream, it's important to give space to whatever memories come up, to watch their stories unfold with wise hindsight eyes. When a number comes up in a dream, one approach is to look back that number of years. So if 20 comes up, for example, you look back 20 years or to when you were 20. When I was 20, I graduated from university. I was excited about the great unknown that lay ahead. Everything in my life felt uncertain. I can look back now and see a path from where I was then to where I am now and what I do now. But back then I couldn't see that path. In the end, I had to trust that uncertainty and pull out into the flow of life's traffic in the best way that I could, whether or not I was doing it right, whether or not I had control of my journey or was merely freewheeling downhill. Looking back 20 years takes me to the weeks leading up to the new millennium and our global fears and concerns about Y2K. Would our computer systems, our businesses, life as we knew it, continue smoothly or be thrown into massive cataclysmic disruption? Well, it was all smooth and easy, wasn't it, in retrospect, but uncertainty was certainly the vibe at the time. We can renew and re-energize our intentions for another 5 years, and then another, and another. But intention requires faith. Faith in the ultimate blessings of uncertainty, as long as you keep your eyes and your heart wide open. As it turned out, my watch was ready to pick up on a Monday, and I arrived at the jeweller's around lunchtime. I had to wait for 5 minutes or more while the assistant attended to another customer. By the time he handed me my nicely re-energized ticking watch, I noticed that it was exactly 1 p.m. The date was 11:11, and it was 1 p.m. Isn't there a nice new beginnings kind of ring there with all those ones? And I've got time up my sleeve again. Time to devote to what's coming next. So I wrote that one in November 2019, as I say, 2 years ago. And I'm going to follow that through with one that I wrote 2 months after that, which was only this month. So a couple of weeks ago, I wrote this blog called Colour in Dreams and in Spelling. And I wrote this one not for janetheresa.com, but for the Dream Academy. So if you want to, after listening, actually read the written version, go to dream-academy-online.com to read this one, which you'll find in the blog roll for January 2020. Colour in Dreams and in Spelling. I recently asked my newsletter subscribers for topics they would like me to address in future blogs. Rebecca from Minnesota, USA, suggested colour in dreams. Being American, Rebecca didn't ask about colour the way that I would spell it, C-O-L-O-U-R, though. She asked about colour, C-O-L-O-R. I'm delighted to bring you my offering about colour in dreams, interwoven, as it turns out, with a story about spelling. Last night I dreamed I was getting ready to go for a run. I was all set to go, bar putting on my running socks and shoes. The shoes were lined up and there was a big pile of random socks. I delved into the sock pile, put on one sock, delved in again and put on a second sock, only to find there were different colours. It seemed necessary to wear a matching pair, So I kept taking one sock off, delving in again, mismatching again, and so on until eventually I was wearing identical socks. The final colour didn't bother me. It was the matching that was important. Happy with a matching pair at last, white trimmed with a pale lime green, I woke up ready to start my day. I had been contemplating writing this blog before I fell asleep, so on one level, my dreaming mind obliged by processing my thoughts and delivering a dream about colour. On another level, I know this dream is about spelling, so let me explain. My new book, yet to be published, has just been beautifully edited, polished, and converted into American English. The finished product was delivered to me 3 days ago, and I have been very much immersed in reading it through. While I'm completely ready and excited to run with this book being published in American English instead of British English, it still feels weird seeing my words, my turns of phrases, my expressions etched in what every fibre of my being sees as incorrect spelling. Throughout school and university in England and Scotland, we were expected to write in British English. American spellings were always corrected. I imagine this might be different today with globalisation with an S, or even with globalisation with a Z, or even with globalisation with a Z. Whether it's a book or a blog that I'm writing, my quandary is that more than half of my readers and clients are American. So do I write about colour, C-O-L-O-R, for my majority readers, or do I write about colour, C-O-L-O-U-R, because of my cultural background? You might think this is academic. After all, we all know what colour or colour means, however it's spelt, and most of my readers know I'm British by birth. Maybe it doesn't matter, but it's in my bones. What a quandary. Business-wise, the quandary is compounded by Google. If I use the word colour, C-O-L-O-U-R, in a blog title, will it come up for people Googling for C-O-L-O-R, or only for people Googling for the British spelling of colour? Should my choice of spelling be guided by my majority market? Google algorithms change, so the answer is hard to predict. Yes, I will get onto the subject of colour in dreams. So back to my mismatching socks dream of last night. When I looked at my whole dream, I realised with an S, or I realised with a Z, or I realised with a Z, that the mismatched socks symbolised my spelling quandaries. How important is it for my spelling to match my readers? How important is it for my spelling to match my cultural origins? I'm totally ready to move ahead once I get the match right, and it appears from the dream that I'm happy to go ahead with a matching pale lime green. So what does this colour symbolise for me? As with all dreams, our symbols are unique and personal. My job as a dreamer and dream analyst is to work out what any particular symbol represents for the dreamer of that particular dream. I think of lime, the fruit, as being refreshing. I closed my eyes and visualised the colour from my dream, then asked the colour for its name. Fresh mint, it replied immediately. Now logically, I would see mint as a darker colour than lime, but this little symbol-busting technique is generally accurate. I laughed. My book will be newly minted, off the press sooner rather than later, I hope, and it will be fresh in content, approach, message. It's time for me to let go of my quandaries around spelling and focus on the content of the book itself. I can run with that. So I've partly answered Rebecca's question. Now let's explore more about colour and dreams. Rebecca had said in her email, "I know colour symbolism varies by culture and that each symbol needs to be interpreted by the dreamer. You very often add possible insights about colour when it's been strongly represented in a dream to the dreamer on your dream show, but I thought a blog about colour could be helpful and enlightening." She's right. If you notice a standout colour in your dream, a good place to begin is to look for your own cultural associations. I find on this show, The Dream Show, and with clients, that dream colours often equate to the symbolism of the chakra colours. Since yoga and an understanding of chakras is pretty much mainstream for so many of us across various cultures these days. If you're familiar with the chakras and you dream of yellow, for example, you might equate this with the third chakra, with personal power, or whatever you personally associate with third chakra symbolism. But don't leave it there. Ask yourself what yellow in this example means to you. You might come up with sunshine, hope, spring, daffodils. It might be a colour you love to wear or hate to wear. A colour that is authentically you or absolutely not you. Contemplation might take you back to school where perhaps your sporting colours were yellow or your bedroom walls were painted yellow. It might take you back to a memory of being a toddler and being reprimanded for scribbling on the walls with yellow pencils. Contemplate the colour until one particular association feels right. At this point, you'll often notice that the association fits in with the theme of the dream. Most of us dream in colour in the same way that we experience colour in our everyday lives. The colours worth exploring in your dreams are the standout or vivid colours, those that seem to be reaching out for your attention. But shades of colours are important too. I was recently helping a client explore a dream where she was given a pink item of clothing. Pink in general was a colour she didn't like, but the particular shade of pink in her dream engendered a positive, warm and supportive feeling that provided a solid clue for the interpretation. It's not enough to draw up a list of personal colour meanings, you know, red means this, blue means that. The shades and subtleties are meaningful, like my lime green fresh mint running socks. A final tip when looking for the meaning of a colour in your dream is to close your eyes and immerse yourself in the colour. What is the personality of the colour? If someone wore this colour, what would you feel it said about them? What kind of person would choose this colour? If this colour had an intention, what would it be? It was your unconscious mind that came up with the colour in the dream. So give that unconscious mind time, space, and freedom to speak to you. So it was a natural choice then for me to choose for my third blog for this podcast another dream that I had with a colour in the title. So I chose this one, which you're about to hear. And of course, as I read it out, because I've had a quick glance at it, you'll realise that it also ties in with everything we've done so far. This is a blog that's on janetheresa.com and it goes back to July 2019. So this goes back 6 months and it's called The Silver Turquoise Goat. Once upon a dream, standing at an open casement window, resting my elbows on the sill, I noticed a silvery shining in the flower beds below. My heart leapt. For there it was, something very precious to me, a gleaming silver statue of a goat, studded in turquoise gems, half hidden in the foliage, like a discarded child's toy. I reached through the window and nestled it into my arms. It fitted perfectly, being about as long as my forearm and a little taller than its length. It wasn't heavy, despite its silver sovereignty. Solid silver, yet light as a feather. Untarnished. Indeed, someone must have polished it very recently, so how did it end up fallen by the wayside? And why did it feel so familiar and precious to me? When I awoke from this dream last week, back in July 2019, the silver turquoise goat stayed with me. floating within my mind's eye during the day, shining a lovely energy through to my heart. So what did it mean? Leaning into the feeling of deep connection with the silver turquoise goat, my first awareness was that I often say to people that I was blessed to be born on the cusp at the Northern Hemisphere's winter solstice, my birth sign straddling between Sagittarius and Capricorn. Now, I'm no astrologer, but I did take on board from a young age that according to astrology, I was half horse, centaur, and half goat. Throughout my life, I have observed these two energies interplay. The blessing, as I sense it, being that I get very visionary and set huge far-out goals, plucking my arrow, taking aim from horseback. Then I bring in the mountain goat energy to plod, climb, all the way up the mountain to the chosen goal. Yes, my understanding of astrology is probably totally skewed, but the point I'm making is that my perception of my approach to various endeavours throughout my life has been to reach for the stars and then set out on the foot journey, one foot after the other, just plodding away at it until it's done. In my wiser years, I'm not so sure that my horse, goat, visionary, plod approach has always been the best, but I acknowledge that it has served me well. So that was my first conclusion about my dream goat, and when I turned my attention to the turquoise gems that adorned it, I remembered that I've always considered turquoise to be my birthstone. The two symbols, the goat and the turquoise, somewhat confirmed each other. My dreaming mind had come up with a good symbol to represent my Capricorn goat energy. Why silver? I love both silver and gold and white gold too. The first thing that came to me when I asked myself why the goat was silver was that it was valuable, but not as valuable as gold. Gold is first place, silver second. As always with dream work, we discover our own truths and perceptions, not absolute truths. In my mind, conscious or unconscious, silver was second to gold, and my Capricorn goat energy, precious though it felt to me, was second to my Sagittarius horse centaur energy. The dream suggested I felt I valued my visionary aim for the stars energy over my plodding, get the job done goat energy. Oh, and I should add that according to Chinese astrology, I am a horse, all zeal and passion. I absolutely relate to that. You can see why I perhaps need that balancing mountain goat energy to get things done and finished. So far, just playing with the dream symbol, I had discovered that my stick in there and get it done energy had recently been polished, and that perhaps I didn't value this side of myself as highly as it deserved. According to my dream, this value had fallen by the wayside. A fact that hit home, as I have written before, about my habit of immediately forgetting all the hard work that goes into a project once it's done. Like childbirth, better to remember the labour as a lesser deal so you're open to giving birth again. Nature's protector. I have a twist in the story to deliver, but let's pause here for a moment. Last month, so that would be in June 2019, I wrote a blog for the Dream Academy called Dream Interpretation Chart, in which I said that interpreting dreams is an immersive affair. If you really want to understand and gain helpful insight from a dream, dabbling in the shallow waters around the edges of the dream isn't going to take you there. Playing with one symbol from your dream isn't going to take you there. Meditating upon the dream and emerging with an intuitive understanding isn't going to take you the whole way there. All of these approaches are important, the dabbling, the teasing of symbols, the meditation, but they are insufficient alone. In that blog, I went on to say that interpreting a dream deeply and accurately requires a series of systematic approaches, a step-by-step recipe that delivers results. And that is one of the courses on the Dream Academy. It's called How to Interpret Your Dream Step by Step. But does this step-by-step recipe remind you of my mountain goat? I decided to tell you the story of my silver turquoise goat from that dream to illustrate this point. Look how much information and insight I derived from playing with one symbol from a dream. I learned about two key values and the order in which I ranked them, and was able not only to acknowledge this, but to reevaluate their ranking, especially in the context of what I had been doing in the day or two prior to the dream. But I then needed to delve into all the other details of the dream, step by step, to gain the full and deep insight that the dream and I deserved. It's true that I value my visionary nature and somewhat pioneering spirit over my ability to put in the follow-through work that manifests the desired outcome. It's true that I need to be kinder to myself and acknowledge the hard work. It's also true that my zeal and passion for dream work extends to advocating a step-by-step approach to interpreting dreams, an approach that nestles wonderfully magical, intuitive dream work within its embrace, just as I nestled the silver turquoise goat in my dream. I was puzzled momentarily as to why I saw the silver turquoise goat as discarded like a child's toy. Then I laughed when I remembered a toy from my childhood. I was born in a time when children had very few toys compared to today. One of my favourites was a furry lamb, yes, a lamb, not a goat, on wheels with a pram handle. It was a baby walker designed to help a baby take their first steps by pushing it along. I don't remember learning to walk, but watching my own children and grandchildren do this, I know it's a very tough adventure. One you take step by step, plodding along, until finally you have the confidence to run and jump and discard the baby walker along with all the memories of the tough task. Walking, easy peasy. Layers upon layers, as many of you will know that I have spent the last few months rehabilitating from a fracture of my leg, and I'm only now back to the freedoms of totally fluid walking. And if you're still with me, here's one more association to make you smile. Why was my dream goat a statue? Any ideas? Like, it wasn't a fluffy toy like my long ago baby walker. It was most definitely a statue. Well, a statue's job is to stand. You stand before you learn to walk. You stand in order to walk. But what stood out to me was that the statue felt like a totem, something of great value to stand the test of time and to inspire and re-inspire me to walk this path through this life. So there you go, lots of parallels between those three quite quickly chosen blogs for today's podcast, synchronicities, dreams, time. And as I sit here today, I'm hopefully not too far away from seeing my book published. I'm hoping it will come out in this year, 2020. I'm still, to be honest, waiting to decide whether I'm going to publish it with a traditional publisher or whether I'm going to take a bit of a jump because I'm a bit impatient and publish it myself. So I'm weighing up in the balance and watching my dreams, making those decisions. I hope you've enjoyed these stories. I hope you've got loads of tips from them and that you've been inspired not only to interpret and understand your own dreams and to look for synchronicities and interpret those too, but also perhaps if you haven't done it yet, to contemplate going to dream-academy-online.com and doing the first course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. And if you have done that, to continue and walk on and do some of the other courses that you'll find there too. I may or may not do a similar podcast for our next episode because I know that a lot of you enjoy not having a guest on the show and you enjoy these ones where it's just me talking to you. But of course, we also enjoy having guests on the show. So if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show and bring your dream here for me to talk with you and interpret and analyze. The way you do that is you go to janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. You go to the Dream Show. You go to the drop-down box on the menu, and you'll see that there's a form to fill in if you'd like to volunteer to be a guest on the show. Our next episode, episode 227, is due out in real time on the 27th of February 2020. Of course, you may be listening to this, you may be delving into these archives years on from now, you may have already read the book that I've written, you may have read the book that I've written after that, who knows? But anyway, you can listen to all episodes of The Dream Show on janeteresa.com, and you can always listen to the last 10 on Apple Podcasts, and you can listen to, I think, the last 10, 20 or 30 on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your podcast. While I've got you, if you've really enjoyed this, not many people do this, but I would really love it if you could go to your favorite podcast app and give us some ratings, put a little review in. Because the more we have those, the more it encourages, you know, this podcast to come to the top of the pile for other people to notice and to enjoy. You can also, of course, share this link. If you just search for The Dream Show, it takes a while to come up. But if you search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson, it'll come up straight away. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I'll speak to you next month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.